always, Brother Wade, the Lord uses you. What a wonderful song, and you did a great job. I'm happy to see you today. I'm very humble that you're here. Thank you for being in church. I want to ask you to open your Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 6. And today I want to share a very simple message. I want to speak to you on sowing and reaping. That will be the main gist of my message. Sowing always produces a harvest. That is an irrevocable principle. And here is another principle that is irrevocable. What we sow will be the harvest that we reap. The kind of harvest we reap depends upon what we sow. I want to read verse 1 to verse number 10 of this chapter. Listen at this. God used Paul to write to the people at Galatia. And this is what he said. He addresses them in verse 1 as brethren. That does not mean that he is not addressing this letter to the ladies who are saved. They're included in this. This word brethren is a term that it means brothers of the same family or sisters of the same family. But he uses the word brethren in this particular scripture. But it also includes the sisters. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. That sure sounds familiar. This word fault is really the word sin. If a believer, if someone who knows our Lord, we're in the same family, it is possible for that person to be overtaken in a fault, overcome by sin, sidetracked from serving the Lord by sin. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Then he talks about a responsibility that is ours as brethren and sisters in the Lord. He said, ye which are spiritual. In order for you and I to help a fallen brother or a fallen sister, we must be spiritual. We ourselves must be walking with the Lord and living for the Lord and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit in order for us to meet that responsibility. So he said, you which are spiritual. And notice what he said. He did not say attack that individual. He did not say add to their fault and add to their burden and add to their difficulty. He said, restore. Restore. I wish we could really learn this principle like the Lord would want us to. Restore, that is our responsibility. Restore. When a person falls out of the fellowship of the Lord, we're to restore them. When a believer misses the Lord's will for their life, we are to restore them if we possibly can. If people, for some reason, get out of church, we are to restore them if we possibly can. We are to restore. If a brother or a sister falls into a sin, we are to restore them if possible. And we must be spiritual ourselves. And when we are making an effort to restore such a one, we're to do it in the spirit of meekness. Wow. Never in a militant spirit. Never in an attacking spirit. We're to do it in the spirit of love and meekness, with the goal and purpose of helping that person, getting that person back into fellowship with our Lord. What a statement. Then he said, when we restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider. And this word means to keep in mind yourself. Be mindful of what we are. Be thankful that only by the grace of God we ourselves have not been overtaken by a sin or a fault. He said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wow. Did you know that you are a prey for Satan? Nothing would please Satan anymore. His goal, he cannot get your soul. That's settled. He can never get your soul if you're born of the Holy Spirit. But he wants to hinder your usefulness. He wants to do everything he can to keep you from being fruitful and being successful in your Christian experience. That's his goal, and he attempts to do that. So we need to know that we ourselves only stand by the grace of God. Then he says in verse number 2, bear you one another's burdens. Wow. This is a command. This is a commission that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, has given to us. Bear you one another's burdens. We are to be burden bearers. I hope that God will help me never to add to people's burdens. I hope that God will help me never to be a burden to anybody. But I hope that God will help me and I'll be responsive enough that I'll be able to bear people's burdens. Sometimes I have people call me on the phone and I'll spend 20 minutes listening. And really, to me, it's not all that serious. But to them, it's a burden. There may be something that I would not take all that serious, but it's a burden to you. And we are to learn to bear one another's burdens. And you know, I've learned that sometimes just listening, just simply listening and let people vent and express the burden of their heart is a way of helping them, being a friend to them. We're to do that in love and meekness. We are to bear one another's burdens. And when we do that, you know what we're doing? We are fulfilling the law or the principle of Christ. We're following Christ. We're doing what Jesus would be doing. And then he said, if any man think himself to be something. Boy, that is a sobering statement. If a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove or discern and give evidence of his own work. Let him have a clear conscience. Let him know that he or she is really what Jesus wants them to be. But let every man prove his own work. Listen to this. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. And here he tells us in verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. But he just told us in verse 2 to bear one another's burdens. But there's a little difference in these words and the meaning of these words. The word burden, of course, means a heaviness. It means a person carrying a load. It could be a burden of sickness, a disease. It could be a burden of falling into sin. It could be a variety of burdens in verse 2. But in verse 5, I think this has to do with more of our responsibility. I have a burden. I have a responsibility to bear the burden of sharing your burden. I have the responsibility of carrying a burden to restore those who fallen because of their burden. I think that's what he's conveying to us. And then look at verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word, a person that's taught, person that's trained in the word, let him that is taught in the word communicate. And we just sometimes think that word communicate means just to be in contact with. You know what this word really means? This is what he's saying. Let him that is taught in the word share or give unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's talking about supporting your teachers, respecting your teachers. It's talking about sharing or communicating with them, helping to meet the needs of those who spend their life teaching the word. That's really what he's saying. And I like this. Here's the text. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downput. Let us not be weary in well doing. Doing what ought to be done. Doing what the Lord wants us to do. You can do well and not be involved in well-doing. I've said that before. But well-doing is being involved in the Lord's work, being involved in helping these that have fallen, helping these that need an encouragement, helping these that need to be instructed. That is what well-doing involves. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. Now listen to this. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That includes even unsaved people. We ought to bear the burdens even of unsaved people. We ought to do good even to unsaved people. We ought to do good to those that don't do good to us. We ought to do good to those that despise us and abuse us. We ought to do good to them. He said, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, listen to this, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Isn't that a beautiful verse? We're to be good, we're to be kind, we're to have a spiritual love and a spiritual helping hand to every person we meet, but especially to those of the household of faith. Now let's go back to our text verse, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm speaking today on sowing always produces a harvest. This chapter really teaches us that we're to help the fallen. We're to help those who are in need. Let me give you four things quickly in introduction. We're to do this. We're to be an example. And these verses give us an example, first of all, of the spirit of meekness. I think that is the spirit of Christ. Verse 1, he talks about the spirit of meekness. What you and I do, we are to do it in the spirit of meekness. There's no place in the Lord's work for arrogancy and a militant spirit. Now, we are to fight the devil. We ought to be very clear and very plain, and we ought to never have any compassion on the devil. But there's a lot of people controlled by the devil, and they don't know they're controlled by the devil. And the devil has influence on their life, and they need to be loved and helped and dealt with and brought to Jesus Christ if we possibly can. I see some of these folks that just absolutely is just so anti-America. They're so anti-Jesus Christ. They literally despise Jesus Christ, and when you mention the name of Christ to them, it is an offense to them. But we're to love them. We're not to take a ball bat. We're to love them. We're to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we are to try to reach them with the Spirit of love. Let me tell you what one of our men told me. By the way, his wife told me this morning he flew out of town today. One of our men was in India. He had flown to India for business. And he said, it just happened. He keeps up with our time here. And our time here was 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. He was in India with two businessmen who were Muslims. And he said, we were sitting at a conference table. And they had computers there. And he said, would you mind if I went on the computer and just pulled up my church service this morning? And they said, no. He went on the computer and pulled up our church services here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And he, along with those two Muslims, sat at that table, and he said they listened and never said one critical word during that session. Now, that's bearing burdens to me. That's the spirit of meekness. And those men, instead of wanting to bash him over the head, sat there and listened. And who knows, maybe through the music or maybe through something that was said from the Bible, maybe those men perhaps got a thought or a seed was sown in their heart that someday may produce a tremendous harvest. You never know. But I know this, we have to have the spirit of meekness. We have to have the spirit of meekness. I heard of a guy that went visiting and took this fella with him, and he rang the doorbell, and the lady came to the door, and she was dressed like she was going to go to the beach. And the man that was with this preacher said to her, go get some clothes on, we'll talk to you about God. I doubt very seriously if they made very much inroads into speaking to her about Jesus. Amen? I'm saying that we must have the spirit of meekness about us. I don't, and some of you may doubt what I say about this. You may not know it, so I just want to tell you, the devil already knows it. But I hate these liquor stores here in Loganville. I really do. But I don't hate the person that owns them. I pray for them. I think they probably don't realize it, but they're sowing some seeds that the harvest will come up one day, and it'll be a horrible, horrible harvest that comes from the seeds that's been sown. I want to say this. We must meet people in the spirit of meekness. Secondly, we must deal with people in the spirit of mercy. We must deal with people in the spirit of mercy. When we deal with folks, we must deal with them in mercy. Mercy. Thirdly, or fourthly, we must deal with them with the purpose of mending or restoring. The word restore here is a word that really means to mend. It means to try to straighten out whatever's wrong. It carries this meaning like a doctor or a person that in the medical field, someone has broken a bone, and the doctor is trying to set that bone and rearrange that bone so that it will heal and grow back normal. That's what it means to try to restore somebody. If you have a friend that's, and oh, by the way, let me say this. This broke my heart. Broke my heart. I saw a pastor this past week. He's a good man. He's a good pastor. He'd been at this one particular church close to 20 years. Built a new building. He had a burden at his church to start an RU program. He got all the information. He had a guy that said, I'll look after it. I'll head it up. They trained the guy, had him ready, and he brought that to his church. He wanted the church to be the one that made the decision on it, like he should. And the church voted, we do not want an RU program in this church. Some of the people made this statement. Now listen to this. We don't even want those kind of people even on our grounds. And the preacher resigned with a broken heart and almost a defeated spirit. You know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd sure rather be the preacher as to be some of those people that said, we don't want those kind of folks on our grounds. And by the way, these are not your grounds. They're God's grounds. This is not my grounds. This is not my church. It's God's church. And we do well to always remember that. God's given us the privilege of being stewards of it. His business, his particular church here. That's why we ought to be so cautious and careful and make sure that things are done in the Lord's will and done right. So we are to follow the spirit of mending. We are to restore. We are to restore. Now quickly, let me just give you some things about sowing and reaping. Number one, remember this. We always reap what we sow. You reap exactly what you sow. The way you deal with people, the way you live your life, the way you sow your seeds, you rest assured the same thing will come home to your life. You'll reap exactly what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you sow spirit, if you sow to the Spirit of God, you live a life led by the Spirit of God, and you do things in your life led by the Spirit of God. And if you want to sow the right kind of seed, God said you'll reap the harvest that is right. You'll reap a good harvest. But if I sow seeds that are bad seeds, if I sow seeds to the flesh, if I live my life in the flesh, and when I say live my life in the flesh, of course we live in the body. All of us live in a fleshly body. We have a battle with a fleshly body, but we don't have to control the appetites of this flesh every time. But if we follow the Holy Spirit, if we sow seeds that are spiritual, if we sow principles that are biblical, then we have every right under God's heaven to expect the Lord to bless those seeds and give us a harvest that is good and wholesome and honoring to the Lord. I thought about this, and I mean this. I am so thankful for our young people. I saw them yesterday working inside the concession stand, and I thought, many, many young people would never do that on a Saturday. There'd be other things they'd be involved in. And I thought, that's so good. But let me tell you something, young people. I want you to remember this. What you sow while you're young, you'll reap it in years to come. I have talked to people in their 50s and 60s. And the things they're reaping in their life today, I've had them say to me, I sowed these seeds when I was young. I made the same mistakes when I was young that my kids are breaking my heart with now, and my grandkids are breaking my heart with now as they sow their life. So remember whatever you sow, you're going to reap. But if you sow seeds to the Lord, if you walk with the Lord, if you follow Him, obedient to Him, as your life grows older and the harvest begins to come in, it'll be a harvest that you'll be so thankful for. Number one, we reap what we sow. Number two, you always reap after you sow. Here's a danger in this matter of reaping and sowing. Here's a danger. We want to sow sometime. We want to reap sometimes before we sow. But you always have to sow. You always reap after you sow. You don't get a life of blessings without there's been some seed sown. And we always reap after we sow. And I found this verse when I was looking at this message. I found this verse. I love it. Deuteronomy 28:38. I want you just to hold your place there in the Bible. And I want you to remember this. Deuteronomy 28:38. Let me just recite it to you. I'll tell you what it says. It says, when you go to the field, you carry plenty of seed with you. Your harvest size will be based upon how much and how many seeds you sow. If you sow more seed, expect a bigger and larger harvest. That's the way it is. So we reap after we sow. We must carry much seed into the field. Did you know the Bible talks about abundant sowing? The Bible talks about how that we can sow abundantly and we reap abundantly. That's good and bad. If you abundantly sow bad seeds, you will reap bad seeds abundantly. And then we reap, I like this, and this is frightening. Not only do we reap after we sow, not only do we reap what we sow, but did you know that you reap more than you sow? You reap more than you sow? Let me give an illustration. How many of you know what a little okra seed is? It'll almost blow away in the wind. You know what? You can take one okra seed and plant that seed in the ground. And you know what will happen to it? It'll die. It'll germinate and die. And suddenly that okra seed will bust through the ground. And there'll be a large stalk come up. And on that stalk sometimes there'll be 8 or 10 pods of okra. Those 8 or 10 pods all came from one little seed that was sown in the ground. I'm saying to you and I, it behooves us to sow the right kind of seed. And we always reap more than we sow. That's spiritually also. You reap more. How many of us can say that God has been so wonderful and so gracious to us all the days of our life? That's the harvest of seed that's been sown. Seed that's been sown. Look in your Bible, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to read this to you quickly. Take time to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now you listen to me. Listen carefully. Follow me in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. But this I say, God directed Paul to write, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, he that sows just a few seed. You know what he's talking about in this chapter? The context of this chapter is this church at Corinth being so gracious in their giving. He's talking about, in the verses that I'm reading to you, he's talking about your giving. Well, somebody said, boy, I'll tell you right now, what I do, I take my calculator, I take my pencil, and I figure it up, and I know just exactly what my tithe is, and that's all I'm going to give. I'm going to give my tithe, and that's it. That's commendable. You ought to do that. God will bless you for doing that. God will honor you for doing that. But may I say, you'll be far more blessed if the Holy Spirit leads you to go a little bit beyond that. Now listen to it. I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now you understand that. You understand what he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's not difficult to understand. But listen to this. And he which soweth bountifully, he that soweth beyond, he that soweth an abundance, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm not preaching on giving today. This just came up. But if I give sparingly, if I give just what I think is required, I think there will be a voidness in my life as far as blessings. But if we give bountifully, he said, you will also reap bountifully. Listen to this. And then he said, let every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He that soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Listen, this promise, and God, to the person that sows bountifully, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Listen to this. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So I'm just simply saying today that God blesses the right kind of sowing. Sowing is important. Sowing is important. And when we sow the right kind of seeds, God blesses abundantly. God blesses those that do that. Now, as I close, let me just close with a couple of three questions. I want to ask this question. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 19. Haggai was writing to the people of Israel after they'd come back from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah was rebuilding the city. He was an engineer, he was a structure builder, and he was a spiritual giant. And he was rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. And Haggai was preaching to the people there. And they were planting their vineyards. They were told to plant their crops. And Haggai asked this question. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 19, he asked this question. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed still in the barn? What he was saying was, get the seed out of the barn. Sow it. If you want a harvest, if you want God to abundantly give us a harvest, get the seed out of the barn and sow the seed. The seed must be taken from the barn. They must be sowed generously in order to receive a bountiful harvest. Do we really believe that we'll reap what we sow? Do we really believe that we'll reap later after we sow? Do we really believe that we'll reap more than we sow? Well, we will. We will. From one kernel of corn placed in the ground, there comes a stalk. I'm told that out in the Midwest, that a guy just wanted to check this. And he went out in his cornfield, and here was a single corn stalk that came from one kernel of corn. On that corn stalk, there was four, over a foot long, four ears of corn. He took one of those ears of corn and he shucked the shucks from the corn. And he took a little magic marker and he checked the kernels of corn on that one ear. And there was over 300 kernels on one ear of corn. He was amazed. And all of that came from one seed that was sown in the ground. I could just go on and on and on and talk about reaping what we sow. Reaping what we sow. How horrible to hear people say, Preacher, I'm reaping what I've sown. How many have I had say to me, Preacher, I wish I could go back and do my life over. My father, my dad, whom I loved, but I knew that my dad was not what he ought to be. I knew as a little boy, his cursing and his drinking, I knew that was horrible. The times he'd come in and just be so militant and so cruel and so harsh, I knew that was wrong. I knew that. But you see, he was sowing seeds he's going to reap. My dad, and I hope, I don't mean this in any way other than just telling you the truth. My dad, I don't think, ever met a man that he was afraid of. He was high, very high-tempered. And I remember my dad he was 6'3", weighed 215 pounds. And one of the real kind things I remember about my dad was this. He was working at the sawmill. And I don't know how old I was. I was probably my first year in school. Might not even been in school. But he said to me one night, he was laying in the bed, and he said, "You know what I'm going to do for you, boy?" I said, "What, Dad?" He said, "I'm going to cut you four wheels off of one of those logs that we cut down at the sawmill. I'm going to cut you four wheels out of a log, and we're going to make you a truck wagon." Boy, I remember that. I was so excited about it. And he did. He followed through. But I was thrilled to death that my dad said, "I'm going to cut you four wheels from a log and we'll make you a truck wagon." But I remember seeing my dad turn up the bottle. I remember hearing his cursing. I remember seeing his anger. I did not witness this, but my mother told me that before I was born, after I was born as a baby, my dad took the pistol and shot holes in the wall in the house. But you know what he said? That 215 pound, that strong frame, when he was 58 years old, the day he died, weighed about 97 pounds when he died. His body, all through his body, was wrecked with cancer. And I can still remember this. My dad said, "Oh, if I could do life over. If I could live my life over." My mother's name was Ollie. And my dad said to her, "Ollie, if I could live my life over, Ollie, I want you to know it'd be different." I'd sow, he didn't say it in words, but what he was saying was this, I'd sow different kind of seeds. I'd sow different kind. You go ahead and sow those seeds. Your kids will always remember them. They need to see an example in us. I can't understand people that talk about how much they love Jesus and how much they believe the Bible and live such careless lives. Sowing careless seeds, sowing seeds that shows no commitment to the Lord very much in their life. How sad, how sad. May I say to you, be not deceived, be not misled, be not careless in making your decision. Remember this, be not deceived, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a person soweth, that shall they also reap. As you treat others, you'll be treated that way. I'm telling you, what you sow in your life, the harvest will come home. The harvest will come home. We reap what we sow. Let's stand together, please. Just before I pray, I wonder if there's somebody here that would say, Brother Richards, with no one looking but me, and you'd say, Brother Richards, the Lord has touched my heart this morning, and I realize that I'm not sowing the right kind of seeds. I realize